You know, I've seen many people dying physically who have tremendous spiritual joy. I've seen many people suffering physical consequences for whatever, but inside in Christ, they have unbelievable spiritual joy. But I've yet to witness someone who's dying spiritually with any true, real sense of joy. Because this only happens through one person. His name is Jesus Christ.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Live in the Light. Thankful, as always, that you have tuned us in here today. You've joined us in the middle of our series we're calling Hope and Holiness. As we walk verse by verse through the pages of 1 Peter, we're seeing God's amazing hope come into our lives, changing us, and then holiness resulting. Listen, if you've been challenged or even growing in amazing ways through the series, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to us at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or even phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. All right, we're back to part two of our message entitled Hope and Holiness Get Serious Today. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, and here now is our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Every 24 hours, 350,000 people across this world will contract a sexually transmitted disease. Now listen, these are all physical consequences of sin. They're physical consequences of sin. What the Bible speaks of here is way worse. As awful as physical consequences can be, there's nothing that trumps the spiritual wreckage of the soul. And you and I have to see when the soul starts losing, then life gets very, very ugly. And life starts to hurt really, really bad. See, when the war is raged and waged against the soul and sin starts to win, this is when marriages fall apart. This is when children get really, really hurt and messed up. This is when unforgiveness torments a soul. This is when anger starts to run our lives. This is when idolatry starts to rule our affections towards emptiness. This is when things like lust render us emotionally bankrupt. This is when pride and vanity rob us of any sense of true worth and beauty. This is when things like slander hollow us out from the inside. You see, this is why the world cries out. The world's longing for satisfaction and meaning. Why? Because sin has them on their deathbed, whether they know it or not. You know, I've seen many people dying physically who have tremendous spiritual joy. I've seen many people suffering physical consequences for whatever, but inside in Christ, they have unbelievable spiritual joy. But I've yet to witness someone who's dying spiritually with any true, real sense of joy. Because this only happens through one person. His name is Jesus Christ. And the person who knows Jesus Christ is the person who's not dying spiritually. It's the person who's alive spiritually because of the blood that he shed. See, but this is why, again, this isn't me talking right now. This is the Lord talking. And the Lord's saying right now, this is why as believers, we got to wake up and smell the war. We got to wake up and smell the thing that's trying to take us down because the war is on, whether you know it or not. And the worst thing that can happen to the church in our day is we don't realize the war's on. And there's so many people in the church that get lulled to sleep, taking their spiritual nap, lazy boy spirituality, feet up, drinking hand, remote in the other, and they're coasting through life. And meanwhile, their soul is being depleted because they're not aware of the reality of the flesh that's taking ground. That's a problem. Listen to this quote by Dwight Edwards. I love this so much. This really, really works for me. He says, "One man has well said, it is not enough for the gardener to love the flowers. He must also hate the weeds." Bam! That's good. Because I hate weeds. You know that. Some of you know that, man. Dandelions, look out, man. I'm coming. I'm already planning my strategy for next year. All right? Lewis, he says this. "This principle holds true not only in the lives of gardeners, but also in the lives of Christians. You can't just love the flowers. You got to hate the weeds. Because the weeds take over the garden if they're not addressed. Can't let a weed grow forever. It's ugly. It's disgusting. It's unhealthy." His point is, You got to understand, if you're going to wage this war, you can't just love the great things. You got to also hate the things that are trying to get you and trying to hate you. Don't you see, every day is a battle for the soul. You need to live this way always. Lazy boy spirituality, listen, will be ambushed by your own flesh. Satan will take advantage of that as well. You can't fight the war when you're half asleep. This is the biblical warning over and over again. You say, well, what do I do? What do I do? You got to rally the troops, man. You got to rally the troops. You got to stand ready for battle. You got to get your weapons. You got to get ready to fight. You say, well, how? How? Ask questions like this. Where are my thoughts going these days? What am I concentrating on? Where is my time being spent? Where's the money that God has entrusted me with? How am I spending that? What are my greatest passions? What habits have formed in my life that are good, that are not good? What needs to be destroyed in my life? What literally needs to be destroyed in my life because it's taking my heart away from a pursuit of Jesus Christ? What needs to be relinquished in my life? What do I need to forsake in order to go for Jesus Christ? John Owen said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. This is what's happening here right now. The reality of the war. Again, you're like, Rob, you're serious, because the Bible is serious. And hope and holiness are at a war with sin, a war over our soul. You're like, I need some more, Robbie. I'll try to give you some more, right? You say, what do? You got to reinforce hope and you got to reinforce holiness in your life. You say, how do we do that? I got a few things on the screen for you here. I got five ways. Five ways to see this battle won within your life. It's not going to be stuff that's going to be new. That's the point. The first thing you got to do if you want to fight this war in a way that's filled with wisdom and strength and strategy, you got to put away sin. It's that simple. It's called repentance. But you got to know where the sin is. You got to think through your life and find out again, where are the idols? Who are the people? I mean, it's just interesting when you look through your life and the Holy Spirit, if you ask the Holy Spirit to do this, he's going to start showing you, even right now in this sermon, he's probably started to do that. Who are the people that I'm not loving? Who are the people that I'm hating? That's not going to go well for us. What are the habits that are flat out sinful and I know it and that's not working for me? You need a plan to cut off the hand, to cut out the eye, Jesus says. You need a plan to take seriously, to repent of the sin and move on. This is something I have to do on a weekly basis, a daily basis, to look there and say, if I'm serious about what God's serious about, I need to reinforce hope and holiness. It starts with saying, I got to hate the weeds, man. I got to rip them out of my life and to see the blessing of that. Here's the next one. Put away sin. Got to put on Christ. Put on Christ through prayer. I mean, again, it's so basic, but that's the point. To sit down and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you to be my clothing. I need to put you on. I need the righteousness of Christ to be seen through my life. I need your strength. I need your help. To wake up each day and to pray this way, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you to lead me in this way. Prayer, how key is this? How important? How basic? Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Because lazy boy spirituality doesn't pray a whole lot. It's too busy just enjoying life. Thirdly, I got to do this. I got to pick up the word. I got to pick up the word. You know the word of God is called the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit? Did you know that? Did you know that? Yes, you did. So imagine that. What's a sword used for? To kill weeds, man. Right? Right? Like even right now, think of a sword. That's an offensive weapon. I haven't used my sword in years. Probably not doing so well, are you? The sword of the Spirit, right? Right? You got to get this out of its sheath and you got to like that. You got to use this. It's so powerful. This is one of the only weapons we have, prayer and the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, to use that to take down strongholds, to take that to find wisdom, to go forward for Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about it. The sword, I'm not using my sword. My sword's dull. I haven't, my sword's on the shelf. What are you doing? You can't fight the battle without your sword. Simple, important. This is serious. You need your sword. You need your sword. Well, come on, man. You need the sword to fight the battle. Pick up the sword. Fourthly, here's the next one. This, passionately worship. I wrote down soul power. Yeah. You know what? You know, even this week, how do I say this? I got wrecked. Oh, I don't want to go into it. Anyways, just it was a period, it was hard. And the Lord used worship in my life to break me, to renew me. sitting on my counter, man, sitting on my counter home on Monday on my day off, and it was a hard day that day. I can't explain it, man. I can't explain it. Just, I have a hoodie on, and I was eating lunch, and the worship songs were playing, and then all of a sudden, God knew I was so devastated in different ways. Then all of a sudden, the Lord, through worship and music, he opens up my heart. He lets me know how much he loves me. And in that, I sit there, and then tears just start hitting the countertop as I sense the presence of my God, the wonder of my God. It's amazing when you're in the place of passionate worship, you're not sinning. It's like the soul starts to win for the things of Jesus Christ. When you engage yourself for the passionate pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and his exaltation, and good things start to happen. I mean, Luke chapter 1, Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and the spirit within me rejoices. My soul magnifies the Lord. When you passionately worship Jesus Christ, your soul is moving towards him, and sin is being left behind. The last one I wrote down is this. You got to pull out the right passport. You ever gone to the border? And you try to cross the border, you pull it out into your whore, you're like, I got the wrong passport. You're not going very far, are you? Not at that point. What's our passport? Our passport is heavenese, right? I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this right now, but listen, here's my passport. Here's my passport. Let's get a close-up on this one. This is very important, okay? Look at it, okay, right? Watch. I'm a citizen of Canada. Not. I'm a citizen of heaven. See that? See that? Look at this here, too. Look at my passport. It says nationality. Heavenese, baby, okay? Heavenese. You love that? I love that too, all right? Again, I'm getting a lot of mileage of this one, but listen. That is my truth. If you show up in this life and you're like, I'm Canadian, you're not getting very far. But you hold the passport and you're like, the reality is I'm an exile of heaven, but I'm going home soon. I'm a sojourner. My citizenship is in heaven. That is how you live. There's not one man or woman of God powerfully used throughout all of time who has not understood this. They have all understood this. They've all understood this life is not what it's all about. This world is not my home. Hope and holiness are at war. We need to get serious. Let's move on to point number two now. In verse 12, we learn this. My hope and holiness are on display. They're on display. So notice, at war with sin, but notice now the connection. Verse 11 and 12, they just flow into one another. In the Greek, the one sets up the other. Verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Here's Peter's point. Listen carefully. When we win the war within ourselves, we become a greater witness to others. The more we win the war on sin, the more we shine the light of Christ to others. The more we see the war to our advantage, the more we see the witness for Christ in our lives, okay? Your loved ones, this just in, people are watching. People are watching our lives. And in a sense, this is where hope and holiness within us are undeniable. I'm not saying everyone will like what they see within us, but there is a sense with Christ that the hope and holiness that is within us can't be denied. It's there. It will be seen. To some, the fragrance of death, to some, the fragrance of life. But it should be undeniable within us as we live our lives. The context of our passage is Peter is writing to believers who were being widely opposed on a wide scale. Christians were viewed with suspicion and hostility because they would not conform to the ways of the world, just like today. Christians were accused of cannibalism because they celebrated the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was abused. They were distorting all these things that Christians were doing. Christians were accused of being antisocial because they rejected forms of immoral entertainment. Christians were even accused of being atheists of all things, because they would not worship idols of the day. You see, one of the realities of seriously following Christ, look at verse 12. One of the realities of seriously following Christ is evil will be spoken against you. Evil will be spoken against you. Notice in verse 12, it's not if they speak against you, it's when. It's when they speak against you. But notice Peter's strategy. Notice Peter's strategy to combat this. He doesn't say write out a defense and mail it to them. He doesn't say stand up and speak out a defense to them. In this text, he says conduct. He says live out in defense. Live in such a way that when the accusations come that you are evil, that the accusations won't hold water. He says live in such a way that is honorable, that is beautiful, that word means. That your life will be able to withstand the accusations. They won't stick. Again, they will not be able to stand. So as I said, the word honorable, it literally means to be perceived as beautiful, which is so beautiful to me. Peter's exhortation is that the Gentiles, and the word Gentiles is just another word for unbelievers, that unbelievers will witness behavior within Jesus' followers, which is undeniably beautiful. Now that's a call for the Christian life, that we would live in such a way that the evidence for Christ and the light that would shine would be undeniable beauty, even if in a sense they can't stand what they're seeing. Inside, they would know it's the gospel of Christ and it's wrapped in love. I love the truth so much that genuine love is extremely hard to resist. Have you felt that in your own life? I mean, you have to try really hard to resist genuine love. You know, in your life, when you're angry with someone and someone maybe really kind of bothers you, but that person walks into your life again and they begin to genuinely love you and it almost bothers you because you're like, wait, you're not supposed to love me right now. I'm supposed to be mad at you and I want to be mad at you. But the love comes at you and inside you feel your heart kind of melting and softening and you try to stay mad. Get mad, get mad, get mad, get mad. But because the love is real, you almost don't know what to do and you become disarmed. And then all of a sudden you're like, huh, you're not so bad after all. And then you feel in your heart, is it just me? Is it just me or anyone else know what I'm talking about right now? One person, thank you. All right, all right, all right, all right. And it's amazing when this love comes at you, it's almost, you have to be really, really grumpy to resist that type of love. Like you gotta be cranky as all get out if you're gonna be able to stand there and remain in bitterness when it's a genuine love coming at you. It's so powerful to receive that because of how it makes you want to respond in return. See, this is the power of love. This is the power of Christ's love. This is the power Peter's getting at right here. And by the way, I commend this truth to you this season. Many of you will be engaged with different people that maybe you're not so excited about. Maybe our call is to move forward and pray, God, could you grant me a love that is so strong and so real that I could melt some hearts? I believe he could do that, you know? And this is one of the reasons why I love Compassion Canada so much, because it's compassion in Jesus' name. This is their motto, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. Okay, so notice what's right within this model right here, releasing children from poverty, the love of Christ. The love of Christ, it's the tangible expressions of the love, reaching out for children who have such tangible, practical needs. But this is the most important part, as we said already today, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's the gospel wrapped in a love that is undeniable. It's the gospel wrapped in such a way. It's not just grace, it's not just truth, it's grace and truth. But it's a love that really the world has a really hard time looking at the work of compassion and being like, man, those guys stink. Because they know inherently within them the work there is good and the love is right. And that's what we're called to do, that even when evil accusations come, the conduct of those within us, the conduct of those who love Jesus Christ, here's what happens, and here's what I watched happen within Peru as well. An undeniable love coming from an undeniable source, Jesus Christ, and then receiving an undeniable response. That's what happens. The people can't help but respond. Because notice at the end of verse 12, it says that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. The good deeds leads to God getting glory on the day of visitation. The question is, what's the day of visitation? The day of visitation, I strongly believe, is the Lord bringing redemption. It's the day when people are saved. So one of my favorite stories within Compassion Canada are this. When I was in Peru, and I hear this ongoing, is when the love goes out and children are rescued, children are cared for, children are loved, practically, whether it's food or clothing or education or whatever it may be. But the impact of love is so strong upon this child. There's a mom and dad watching from the outside, and they see this love. This love is so real, and it's in Jesus' name. It is irresistible to them. Some of them try to resist it, but ultimately they find themselves drawn in for this child that is being changed by the power of the love of Christ and the gospel, that they are drawn in. And sure enough, story after story, the mom breaks down because of the love, and the father even at times will break down because of the love, and then they enter into the church, they are saved, and now they are part of the family of God, which starts with the undeniable expression of the practical love of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening right here. See, they will by your good deeds will glorify God the day of visitation. What Peter's saying, there's people will be saved by the love that we express through our lives. Now, it's not just living only, it's sharing the truth when you have the chance to. But this is what's happening right here. This, again, is what Peter is saying. Story after story. Parents, undeniably, they cannot resist the love of what Christ has done. That's what's happening. Again, verse 12, the Lord uses our good deeds to shine his love to the point where others are moved undeniably to the source of Jesus Christ. You know, I love it. This is happening within our church, of course, too. There are people all throughout this church that you are moving forward with such powerful expressions of the love of Christ. People have literally said this over and over again. Wherever this love is coming from, I need to find the source. And they come to the church, and I pray that they hear Jesus. Jesus is the source. Well, I read this quote this week, and I loved it so much. This is the reality that we're getting at right here. We are the Bibles the world is reading. We are the truths the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding. This just in love ones, people are watching. People are watching. And the good deeds rooted in the practical expression of love of Christ and then further for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is a powerful, powerful thing. Hey, look right here. Do you think God can use you this season? Do you think God can use your life where you are in practical expressions of love to see what God will do? Listen, you have to believe. You have to believe you will shine his love and share his truth. Shine his love and share his truth. It was ridiculous. Today, like in the coffee shop with my son Aiden, I'm just standing in line at this coffee shop. My son had a little basketball thing, whatever, and we're sitting there waiting to get him his little donut after the game time. And then these older ladies kind of walk into the coffee shop, and I just see that, and one of them just kind of looked like just like really hunched over and having. I said, "Hey, are you guys waiting in line?" He's like, "Yeah, I can't. You can go in front of us, you know." And just like they looked at me like I was some kind of saint or something. I'm just like, "Well, just go in front, like no big deal, whatever." And she's sitting there in front, and this lady turns around, starts talking to my son, and pinches his cheeks a little bit, you know, that kind of thing, whatever, you know. And then up the line, she gets to the counter, and she went to pay for her cup of coffees, and she was short 35 cents. And I overheard this from the back, and I got it. She looked at me, she's like all embarrassed. I'm like, no, I got it, it's right here. I got 35 cents, all right? You know, here's 35 cents, whatever. And they go over there, and Aiden's kind of watching this whole thing. And then the other lady comes around the counter, and she says, "You know, what goes around comes around. You'll be blessed. You keep teaching your son that way." I'm like, it's 35 cents, all right? Hey, 35 cents. But the expression of love, right? I'm walking out with Aiden, and I'm like, "Aiden, you see all that, man? That's kind of neat, eh? Jesus goes and feeds 5,000, man. He feeds 5,000. The power of the expression of love, people take note. 35 cents. And a simple act of love and the opportunity to spread some love of Christ around. Just think about us taking seriously the opportunities we have. And it was strange. I walked out. I was like, it felt really good. You know? Of course it did. It's Jesus. It's what he wants us to do. And then to shine love and to share truth. Do you think God can use you? He can use you. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. To glorify God. And some people will hate us. Bible promises that. But some people will love us because we have shown them the love of Jesus Christ. And they will glorify God on the day that they are saved because you are used to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Notice what's happening in our text. You know I love H's. Hope, holiness, honorable conduct, heaven multiplies. You see that? Where there's hope, there's holiness, there's a honorable conduct, and the honorable conduct is used by God to add people to heaven. That's awesome. And that's what God does. And that's what he's doing right in this text. Lives are at stake, loved ones. Lives are at stake under God's sovereign, but he's choosing to use our behaviors and our words to build his church. Our hope and holiness are on display. Here's a challenge for you. Two main challenges today that you can take seriously. Challenge number one, sponsor a child today with Compassion Canada. Choose to sponsor a child today from Compassion Canada. Invest in eternity. Understand the practical and the spiritual impact that you can have for the kingdom of Christ as hope and holiness are on display. Here's Josie. Here's my child from Peru. Here's a picture when I was there. She's such a little dear. I got to go to the zoo with her that day. And this is visiting her home, and that's her mom and her younger sister there as well. And I get to write Josie often. I try to be good. Okay, Barry, I'm trying to be good, all right? All right, all right? And I'm so thrilled to be able to have seen where she's at, to see the impact of where it is. And she's almost the same age as my oldest child. And she's growing up into a woman who I believe loves the Lord. And this is so exciting. This is what you get to be a part of too, if you choose to. Again, just take a little inventory of your life and all the things that go on, all the things we spend money on, all the things that we get all fired up about. I think this is a little bit greater than most of the things we choose to do. I challenge you. Display your hope and holiness. Sponsor a child today. Secondly, here at home, choose at least one Christmas compassion initiative to join this month. Choose at least one. Here are the Christmas compassion initiatives we have within this church. Operation Christmas Child. You know, over 4,000 boxes were collected here and 2,000 from our church, all right? Amen. 2,000 from our church going out for this, which is so great. Harvest Market. Harvest Market, we have a lunch for our guests next Saturday, I believe. You know, we are ministering to over 160 families now in our community, which represents, I think, a total of about 400 individuals because of those families and who they represent. That's a big deal. You want to see impact and what's happening. It's just getting started. It's just getting started. It's so amazing. Adopt a family. Families in our church. Families who are in need. And again, you walk through our community, man. The wealth. There's a lot of poverty, too. Okay, people in our church who are in need, people struggling, people who've lost jobs, people who just, I pray that the people in our church be humble enough to say they need help. And then the people to stand up and say, I want to be a part of helping churches, our families in our church to be so blessed. Angel Tree, helping out to families of prison inmates. That you can be a part of the practical expression of love to show up with gifts and food for this family who probably has so little on this Christmas time. Hamilton Street Outreach, downtown, ministering to the homeless. A couple of dates within December, a chance for you to be part of that. And Houston Street Baptist Church, a great, great ministry to the poor in downtown Hamilton as well as ongoing all throughout the year. I challenge you, choose one of these to practically be involved with that your good deeds might be used to glorify God in the day of visitation. God is at work. We need to be a part of what God is doing. But beyond all this, loved ones, beyond all this, our individual lives are on display for the glory of God. And you take our individual lives, and then this church is on display for the glory of God. But I want to finish where we started. The more we go to war with our sin, the more we become powerful witnesses for Christ. The reality of our hope and holiness is undeniable. Some will despise it, some will love it. And listen, this is happening. God is using our hope. God is using our holiness. God is using us to shine his light. So believe it, loved ones. Believe it. There's more to come. Believe it. God will do more. Believe it that in some ways he's just getting started. Believe that God can. Yes, he can. Believe that he can. And believe that he will. And believe that he will use us in the process to see it done. Amen?
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. This daily program is listener-supported and sponsored by Harvest Bible Chapel, Oakville.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. You can also write us at any time in Canada at 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, Canada, L6L6X9. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.